We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us, and we got all in studio hour this hour. We had, you know, Mark Faulkner and Casey Gartman from Baptist. Now in studio, we got Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Turn his mic on. There we go. What?
A little upgrade there from Mark. Okay, no?
Yeah, everybody's trying to, you know. Oh, I see what you said. All right. Well, he's in the car listening. You know, he'll hear
you.
He's
not here. He's already gone.
He already left. He said hi to you. All right. So overnight, we had a couple of incidents. One was a burglary on 69th Avenue. Is that right?
Yeah. You know, no one likes a thief, right? So when we catch these guys, I want to make sure that people know so everyone can kind of enjoy the happiness that I have. But overnight,
don't even have to send them to Wheel of Fugitives or nothing. Just catch them on the scene.
We catch them on the scene, right? Yeah. If they don't show up for court, though, we'll put them on that
Wheel of Fugitives, right?
Anyways, North 69th Avenue, we get a call that a couple people were trying to break into cars. We obtained some video evidence, right? We got some video of these two people, broadcast the description of those two people. The homeowner actually followed them or chased them but lost sight of them, so they're in the area somewhere. When we get there, we had enough units that made what we call a perimeter, and then we had a canine in there. Deputy Wiggins and his canine partner Ellis. While on the perimeter, Deputy Bishop observed two people that fit that description, tried to detain them, and they did what thieves do. They ran. One of them was caught right away based on a foot pursuit by Deputy Bishop, and the other took our canine Ellis, continued to track, and from there they were able to locate the second suspect. And so both of these individuals were arrested and charged accordingly. So that's good stuff.
Yeah.
That's good work. That's good determined work. And I just want people to – I don't want people to think, oh, that happens all the time. You know, it doesn't happen by accident. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of good work. It's a lot of coordination. And obviously it helps when someone calls us to say, there's burglar in the area.
As an old football coach, how would you grade that first tackle?
Well, I haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
So I guess what I'll do, I'll walk in and I'll take a look at our body camera, see what we got there. But I'm sure that the canines are good tacklers.
Yeah, they are. Those canine and the human both, right? They'll take care of it.
They do a good job.
You also had an incident, at a Circle K at Kenmore and 29, aggravated assault?
Yeah.
Guys, last night again?
Out there doing good work last night. Circle K, 29 and Kenmore, we received several calls about a male. Gave a description, gray tank top and black shorts. He was waving a pistol around, or what they call a firearm around, same thing, I guess. Upon our arrival, we noticed a guy named Trevor Clark match a description across the street. We were able to detain him, found a Smith & Wesson M&P in his front pocket, listed as stolen. So walking around with a stolen gun, waving it around at people, and that'll get you put in the
club. Yeah, that'll get you apprehended.
Yeah, so he was improper exhibition, and also grand theft for stealing the weapon as well.
You had a story, it was on your Facebook page, of Terrell Lee Grice, who was driving a silver Kia. You all recognize he had an outstanding warrant, and then things ensued.
Yeah, well, prior to that, a couple of days ago, we did some search warrants up on a hotel off of 29, and this was one of the people we were looking for.
Okay.
And he was able to get out of our perimeter before we got there. But then our deputies, knowing who we're looking for, they see the car, fit the description. They recognize the guy that's in the car. We try to chase him. We don't get to pit him, but he runs into a tree on his own. Thank you.
Self-pitted.
He gets out, runs around, and our guys, again, are out there on him. We set up a perimeter. Ultimately, after probably 20 minutes or so, we see him on a roof of a business, and we yell for him. And he, again, as bad guys do, jumps down and then takes off. And ultimately, again, as you mentioned before, a tackle takes place. And we ended up arresting him. He had also left in the car a bunch of methamphetamine, a bunch of, looks like cocaine. He had some fentanyl on him, some marijuana on him. And obviously he was charged also with failure to obey a law enforcement officer and obstruction of without violence. So I guess running is not with violence. But anyways, guys did a good job. K-9 was also involved in that one. Guy ran from us, tried to hide on the roof. We weren't giving up. Ended up catching this other bad guy. So,
your deputies stay active.
We're doing some good stuff out there. Let me tell you.
We had I don't know why I forgot to talk about these with you last week, but there were a couple of stories involving. One was a high school coach. One was a school bus driver in Escambia. What happened with the school bus driver? It was something lurid with the kids' comments.
It wasn't a driver. It was an aide or a
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you for clarifying.
And they have a bunch of videos on, fortunately, they have cameras on the buses.
Yeah.
As I understand it, there was some complaints about some of the comments that he was making to some of the students. And lo and behold, you look at the video and you can hear some of these inappropriate comments. And, you know, don't do that. These are kids.
Yeah.
And so he was charged with that. But it wasn't a,
wasn't a driver.
About it was a driver.
Okay.
It was actually a bus aide, I guess they call them.
You know, on that note, just your sense, I know you may not have the data for me, but with the enhancements in the not passing a school bus and the cameras being put on the school bus stop sign arms, whatever, have you noticed that problem get any better? Because it's amazing the things you see with people driving past stop school buses, well,
we
even on the right-hand side.
We don't have the cameras on the bus stop arms.
I thought they did have it in Escambia County.
It was a conversation, but
I'm
not aware of it being. It's gonna what. Those cameras require a law enforcement agency to look to review, just like the
red light cameras.
Red light cameras, okay. And we're not doing that. So, if they have cameras on the arms, that may be just for their
okay.
own surveillance. That's not something that we would write citations for.
So that problem is still the problem it's always been. People passing school buses.
I think it is. I see people post sometimes that they were stopped, that this car went right by it, and so we talk about that a lot with regards to our traffic unit and having someone. Ultimately, we talked about having someone just following a bus and you know,
just in an unmarked car and
An unmarked car and then going ahead and stopping those cars because it could be very dangerous.
You guys originated an investigation related to a spice trafficking sting. I think that involved a high school coach locally. I think it wound up being an FDLE case ultimately.
Right. Yeah. We're part of a couple of task forces. And that's where ultimately that came from. But the arrest originally was several months prior to that. We ended up arresting a guy with a lot of spice, seized some property, seized some vehicles from them. And then as part of the follow-up, there was a lot of spice that was recovered over in Santa Rosa County.
Spice is illegal?
Spice is illegal, yeah.
Okay,
stuff
all right.
Put on is
I'm not really in this environment a lot, so, yeah. You know, I see
the
stories
chemicals
about...
chemicals and stuff they use in spice.
Well, and you can, I mean, some stuff, there's always new stuff seems like coming out, and you can buy it at the convenience store until they make it illegal, and then so...
Yeah, the Attorney General's office can, as I understand it, can you know they have some statutes that said this crime, this drug, this chemical makeup, and its analog type of thing. So they're allowed to expand upon that. So the spice is illegal. Is the bottom line, and a lot of it was seized over in Santa Rosa County. And then based upon that follow up, they ended up getting a lot more people, and I think one of them was a coach.
Highway 97, I think I saw the story on northofscambia.com. You were doing some enhanced speed enforcement up there. Not that anybody in Escambia County speeds. I mean, obviously, everybody's very law-abiding, all the drivers.
There's a restaurant up there, the Rustic Rooster, I believe it was. We did a coffee with a cop up there, and during that coffee with a cop, someone said, I had a lot of speeding going on this roadway. So they talked to our traffic unit, who happened to be up there having breakfast with us, and they said, you know what, we got some time this afternoon. So let's do some radar unit, you know, radar enforcement up there. So they did that. They didn't get very much, to be honest with you. But they were out there, and then we got the comments, well, you should do it in the morning. You should do it in the afternoon.
You didn't pick the right time.
Yeah, but that's what we always get. And I'm not saying there's no truth to that. There obviously sometimes they speed more getting to work, and then sometimes they speed, obviously, at midnight or 12, 1 o'clock. We had the same issues on the west side, so we have to pick and choose. That's why we use those speed cameras to kind of give us an idea
where the problem is,
the best time to be there. So that's our next step, is to put that speed trailer out there to ascertain when the best time is to conduct our radar units.
I wanted to ask you about a study I was reading about yesterday, a shocking study that indicated, and this is a very limited scope, it was a one-county study in Ohio, but over 6 years, they studied about, I think it was like 240 traffic fatalities, and 42% of them involved people who were high on marijuana, a THC anyway, and their blood content was ridiculous. It was like 30 nanograms per milliliter, which like in some states the limit is 0, some states the limit is 2, some states the limit is 5. They had 32, so it was 30. It was way high. And I just was curious. I know you guys don't work a lot of traffic stuff because mostly FHP does that, but does that source of impairment and that commonality of fatalities, does that comport with what you see around here and what you know from talking to your partner law enforcement agencies?
That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't. I'm not sure about the marijuana, the THC part.
Okay.
But I think that, you remember, at the Pensacola Police Department, we worked traffic crashes and we worked fatalities.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we'd get that those results from the medical examiner's office. So, and again, you're right. I cannot give you the exact number of
sure.
what it was, but it does not surprise me. In fact, I would have probably guessed over 50% involved
really?
In impaired drivers. I would say about half or more. Impairment, and then half or more just reckless or careless driving.
It strikes me, I kind of talked about this earlier, but it strikes me that, you know, back in the day, people drove drunk and then mad and all the national campaigns. And even though people still drive drunk, the social stigma, the perception, the report drunk drivers, all of that kind of stuff has changed dramatically. It seems like that same level of stigma, opposition, judgment, whatever around driving high has to kind of catch up. There seems like there's a lot more people using THC-related products than there is, like, the social opposition to driving while impaired. I don't know. It seems like we're kind of where we used to be, and we need to get that fixed. I mean, am I on the right track thinking about this?
Well, I think, you know, we're not just talking about marijuana, obviously.
Right.
We're talking about a number of different drugs.
And you can buy it in the seltzers or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy.
I recall a couple of years ago, I was behind a car, and the car just slowly drifted through a red light right in front of me. So I still have police lights, right? So I put my blue lights on, and,
yeah.
And this guy just hits a pole at about 8 miles an hour, and he had just completely out of it,
yeah.
With fentanyl. So we had to call rescue and bring him back with Narcan.
That's amazing.
So my point is, there are people that not just with, you know, just to your point, not just alcohol, but not just marijuana, but they mixing these drugs, and they're still driving, they're still impaired. So. Will it all catch up? I hope so. We do our best to talk about the dangers
yeah.
of fentanyl and the dangers of mixing all these drugs. It's almost like we've gotten past we just got past alcohol.
Yeah.
But because a lot of times we stop a car, and impairment's impairment, right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really matter what it is, but we stop a car and we
because there's not a limit
alcohol.
In Florida, right? There's no definition of THC content.
We
impairment.
Can't have any when you're driving. So, but there's
okay.
there's that, but there's no limit. There's no numerical limit.
Got
you,
it. Okay.
As you pointed out with that state, not that I'm aware of. That's part of that. Remember that thing where should we make marijuana legal or not? And then
right.
the no's were because you can't tell the threshold and what they're drinking.
Got it.
Because you can tell marijuana, you even may have marijuana in your system from days past.
Right.
And what level do you have in your system? That was some of the concerns that they had.
One of the other things that I wanted to ask you about, on your Facebook page, you guys graduated a bunch of deputies, and you've added positions too, right?
Yeah, as part of our 3-year deal, on October 1st, we added 8 more deputy positions, and we'll add 8 more the following October 1. And the following October 1. So we're really making a lot of headway with regards to where I think we should be.
For context, you have how many on the road deputies
now
right now?
We have sworn, we have 449 sworn deputies.
Okay, and
so
we're adding right over the course of the next 3 years, 5% basically.
Yeah. Well, that's counting the 8. So we had 441,
okay.
now
but
we're
still in that vicinity, about 5% total.
And
over
we've
the
already
next...
added about 20 or so in the last couple of years. So
okay.
we're as healthy an agency as we've ever been. And I say a lot, and I say it to the cadets and the recruits that we have, we're as capable of as we've ever been. Now it's up to us to continue to answer the calls and to quickly do this and to quickly do that. So we're merging that technology and manpower. As you know, I talk a lot about the technology part, and now I'm beginning to talk even more so about the manpower part. Because, again, Escambia County is growing. They're building neighborhoods and subdivisions everywhere. Our calls for service still near about 300,000 calls for service. And I want to make sure that we have the uniform presence. We have to catch the car burglars when get there quick enough to catch the people that are waving guns around, and pit the cars that need to be pitted.
Yeah,
and that's what we're doing.
And response time is a part of how you evaluate whether you have enough deputies. Just staffing per capita, but that can depend on how much crime there is in an area. Right, a low crime area doesn't need as many per capita and so forth. But you're comfortable with these numbers? You feel like you have enough? I mean, I know you'd always take more, but,
right. I think our numbers should be around 500, but we're making a lot of progress towards getting that way.
You're fully staffed within that?
Yeah.
You can have as many as you need.
Well, we lost 2 through attrition just the last couple of weeks,
okay.
which is what happens when you start your job in law enforcement. You realize, this isn't what I saw on TV, or, maybe I want to do something else. Nothing, make that decision early, please,
right.
So we don't waste a lot of time. Because it's not for everyone. Law enforcement is not for everyone. So But we were, when we started our training class about 2 weeks ago, we were at zero vacancies, and we probably have two now. So the beauty of having our own police academy is that the next class, we evaluate how many do we need. If we have 10 openings, we'll hire 10. We may hire 12, you know, overfill, and because we know we will lose one or two through attrition. But this past one you're talking about, we had a class of 16.
That's a lot.
That's a pretty good sized class for us.
That's new deputies.
New deputies, sworn deputies. Yeah. In fact, if you go on our social media platform, you'll see them all raising their right hand. The beauty of having our own academy is that they graduate, and I swear them in at the same moment. They get pinned by a loved one or someone that they choose to pin the badge on them. So we have this ceremony where they get pinned, they get sworn in, and then the very next day they're starting that next phase of their career. So in the past, if we didn't have our academy, they would graduate, and then we would swear them in at a later time. But because we have our own, again, one of the beauties of that, this picture, look at the picture. There's a picture of all of us standing up there on the stage, and I have to say thank you to Marcus Point, because we had probably 250 people there watching, family and friends, and then we had all them on the stage. It was a great moment for them. I remember when I was sworn in. And it's obviously a great moment for the sheriff's office and the citizens of Escambia County. We continue to get better and better.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep us safe. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.